Let's follow the reading of God's precious word in the book of Haggai, chapter 1, commencing to read at verse number 13. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. In the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. In the 7th month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all the people, ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenant with you when ye came out of Egypt, so shall my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just humbly pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we bow before thee, and we want a word from thee. We want to hear thy voice. Thou hast said in thy word, be still and know that I am God. And O God, we're still before you. And I pray, O God, that as we be still as a congregation, that we might have the desire of our hearts that thou, the Lord, would speak to us. That we might hear thy voice very clearly. That we might have a message from the Lord. And O God, ere we leave this gathering today, we ask of thee that thou wilt strengthen thy people in their faith. And for those who are not saved, O, that may this be a day of conversion. May this be a day when men and women and young people will come to have a personal faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and leave thy house different than they came in, redeemed by the blood and filled with the Spirit. So to this end, we leave this service before thee, O God. Bless these word, time and moments of meditation upon thy word. For we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In the first chapter of the book of Haggai, as we looked and have been studying here, we find that the work of God had stopped. People were discouraged by what they heard and by what they saw. But in the midst of all their discouragement, God sends his prophet Haggai, and God gives him a word for the people to meet the need of the people and to speak to their hearts. For God just knew exactly what the people needed. And when God's messenger came with the Lord's message, the Bible says in verse 14, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. And then it says this, and the spirit of Joshua, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, God stirred them up. And oh, today that as we listen to the word of God, that our spirits would be stirred. That we be no longer indifferent to the rubble and the rubbish that is all around us, but that God would stir our hearts. And that God would speak to us afresh, and God would stir us out of our sleep that many of us as God's people are in. You know, when God stirred them, it says in verse 14, and they came and did work, because it's not only a stirring but of their hearts, but God stirs their hands. And they realize that it's not only in word, but there's something that they have got to do. And when God was stirring them, it was to do something. And God wants you and me not only to hear His voice today, and God not only wants to stir us into the depths of our being and stir us out of our sleep, but God wants us to stir our hands and to do a work. And it says they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Paul, when he was writing to the church at Philippi, said in chapter 2, 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And when God stirred them, thank God, they started to labor, they started to work. And through the message of the prophet, the people were heartened. The people started to prepare the toil in building of the house of the Lord. And the great encouragement we have today is not only did God stir their desires, but God gave them the ability, and God gave them the strength to carry out God's good pleasure in the rebuilding of the temple, the house of the Lord. And as I thought about that, I said, oh God, please reinvigorate us. God, re-energize us. Because the day is far spent and the night is at hand, friend, we better get working. For having long to work for the Master. For time's going. And so they came to work. They were changed in spirit. Now the Bible says they came and did work. There was no hesitation anymore. They left their occupations. They left being exercised in their own labor. And they were energized in the work of God. They were exerting their energy in rebuilding the house of the Lord. That work began, the Bible tells us, verse 15. On the 24th day of the 6th month. That's in the 2nd year of Darius the king's reign. You know, 23 days after they were challenged by God through His servant in this message of Haggai. You say, why did it take 23 days? Well, of course, it's true that I believe they had to remove the debris. There was a lot of debris there, a lot of materials they had to prepare. And now they're ready for the work. You know, the devil knew they'd started working. Because once they were energized into working for the Lord, friend, don't you think that the devil's going to remain silent, that the devil's not going to try to stop them? Because when you read about this passage in God's Word in the book of Ezra, what do you find? You find that once again the enemy tried to stop them. They sent a message to the king, King Darius. And they wanted him to stop the work of the building of the house of the Lord. Thank God the Jews didn't wait for the sanction of the king. Do you know why? Because they had a word from God. They knew what God's message was. God says, listen, rise and build. And so they didn't wait for the sanction of the king. They had got a message right from God, and so they were confident that they could place everything into God's hand because they were walking in the center of God's will. You know, when God tells you and me to do something, you have a responsibility, and so and I have a responsibility. Do it. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, he said, follow me. That's exactly what he wanted them to do. Follow. And you remember there were those in the scriptures, and they said they wanted to go, and my, they wanted to bury their father. And there were other things in their mind, and Jesus Christ said, follow me. He wants us to act upon his word confidently. And so whilst not waiting for the word of the king, friend, they had a word from God, the King of Kings. They started to build. The wonderful thing was this. The king sent back a message to the enemies of God. Remember, they had stopped the work before. And they thought all they had to do was stop the work again. But the king did an amazing thing. Turn back to the book of Ezra just for a wee moment. Ezra and Nehemiah. In Ezra chapter 5. Let's just read a few verses from this passage of God's word. Ezra chapter 5. Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Jeshua the son of Jozadak and began to build the house of God which was at Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets of God helping them. You see, they were working together. It says in verse number 7, they sent a letter unto him, wherein was written thus, unto Darius the king, all peace. They're buttering Darius up because these enemies tried to stop the work of God. Verse 8, be it known unto the king, that we went into the province of Judea, to the house of the great God, which is builded with great stones, and the timber is laid in the walls, and this work goeth fast on. Let me tell you, friend, they had started to work and they had a mind to work. This work was going fast on. They had a word from God, and when God had spoken to them, thank God, they're re-energized and revitalized in the work of God, and they're not lazily doing the work. Now you have a mind to work. There's work to be done, and they want to do it. They're getting at it. The timber's laid on the walls, and they've builded the great stones, and this work goeth fast on, and prospereth in their hands. Then asked we those elders, and said unto them thus, who commanded you to build this house and to make up these walls? And we asked their names also, and to certify thee, that we might write the names of the men that were the chief of them. And thus they returned unto us to saying, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and build the house that was built at these many years ago, which a great king of Israel builded and set up. You see, they're not asking of man anymore. Then it says verse 12, but after that our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath, he gave us into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar the king. They knew that their judgment was of God, friend. And they were carried away into Babylon. You know, God, if you go to chapter 6 of Ezra, look very quickly. This is what the message came back. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let it alone. Don't you touch it. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in this place. He even went further, verse 8, moreover, I make a decree what ye shall do to the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, forthwith expenses be given unto these men, that they be not hindered. See, they had planned that they were going to stop this work. They thought that all they had to do was to appeal to the king. The work would stop again. But these men had a message from God and they're working. Because God had stirred them up. And it says God stirred Zerubbabel. And God stirred Joshua. And God stirred the remnant of the people. Oh, that God would stir every last believer in this house today to do a work for God. But you know, when you come to chapter 2 of the book of Haggai, you find that there are three further messages from God to the people in the 7th and the 9th months of the second year of Darius' reign. And these messages were to strengthen, these messages were to encourage the people to continue to build and to remove all the despondency that would come among them. The first message was proclaimed 4 weeks after the building was commenced and refers to how the new building compares to the previous Solomon's temple. Verses 1 to 9, and we'll come back to that in a moment. The second message was uttered 2 months later, but it was a different character because in that message, illustrating through questions to and answers from the priests in order to expose the condition of the people while the temple was neglected. Of course, God promised blessings from that day onward. And then the third message, it was a concluding message. It came to Zerubbabel. And God promised future blessing upon the people. The overthrow of the Gentile kingdoms, the establishment of the Messianic age. I want us to come back to that first message because I think it's very important. Because God sends a message. In verse 2 it says, in the 7th month, in the 1 and 20th day of that month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel. You see, the temple is now rising out of the ashes. The rubble has been taken away. They're building. The large stones are put in place. The timber has been put in place. The enemy has tried to stop the work from without. But they couldn't stop it. But the devil doesn't stop. Because if he can't do it from without, he'll do it from within. And friend, as we look at this passage of God's word, God has given a message, and God says through the, as we read in the book of Ezra, how that God had ordered the people that were opposing from without. And God was saying through even the old king Darius, God says, don't you stop them. Don't you hinder them. Let the work of God go on. But there were old men within. And these old men remembered the previous temple. And when they remembered the previous temple, they were thinking about that temple before the Babylonian armies destroyed it. How glorious it was. And what they started to do was this. They started comparing the work that was being done now with the glory of the work previous. And God heard them. And God recalls what they're saying. Verse number 3. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison offered as nothing? You see, these men have been working for the past month and they've been having a mind to work, and my, they're energized and empowered to do the work of God. And now there are those that come up and say, you know what you're doing, man, I want to tell you this, it's nothing to be compared to what was done before. After all their labor, after all their hard work, after all their energies, after all their sweat and even their tears. And there were those that looked at it and they said, you know, it's not possible to make this into what was the former glory. And the sad reality was this, brethren, sisters. These people had been working hard. They were making progress. Until some old man came up and said, you know, do you call that a temple? Do you really think that that's worthy to compare to what was there before? You know, we remember Solomon's temple. And what you're doing and what you're building's nothing compared to it. Now that was a temple, not that. Where's your silver? Where's your gold? Solomon's temple was a temple of silver and gold. How do you think you're going to decorate this place? And friend, to be honest, I see some of those young men standing back after all their labor, and they said, you know, they're right. This is nothing to be compared. Do you know what it did, friend? It just knocked the heart out of them. Do you remember what the Bible says? That the spirit, that God stirred up the spirit of Joshua. Spirit stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. There was nothing to put it down like what those old men had said. They knocked the heart out of them. They poured cold water upon all the efforts that these people had done, and they were doing their best. And the sad thing is this, my friend, that's exactly what some people do. They knock the heart out of you when you're trying your best. When God has stirred you up to do something, there'll always be somebody to knock you down. When the Spirit of God lights a fire within your soul, there'll always be somebody to come to throw the ice cold water upon what your labors are in serving the Master. That's exactly what happened here. Criticism. And there'll always be the critics. But you'll always know, friend, the critics will never do anything themselves. All they do is just sit on the sideline and criticize others that are trying to do something. And whether it be in the children's work, or whether it be in the seniors' work, or whether it be in the baby's work, there'll always be somebody that'll sit on the sidelines and they'll carp on the sidelines and they'll complain about the work is done because it's not the way it was done before. I remember. And that's exactly what the old man said. We remember 66 years. We were there 66 years ago, and we saw it and was done that way. And now I'll tell you, what's been done today is nothing to be compared to what was like then. Let me tell you, friend, these men were doing what God had told them to do. These men were building. Thank God they were doing a work for God. Thank God they were energized by the Spirit of God. Thank God the Spirit had stirred them to do something for God. breaks my heart at times when you find hypocrites sitting on the side and they never do anything for God's work, but let somebody try to do something for the Master, and boy, they'll knock them down. Because that's exactly what these men did. They just might as well have said, boys, you're wasting your time, for what you're doing is not good enough. You know what happens? Discouragement. See, the devil couldn't stop them from without. She was trying to stop them from within. And they were disheartened. And they were discouraged. And they were despondent. Let me say this to you, dear brother or sister in Christ. Don't try to belittle the child of God who's doing something for Jesus. Don't try to knock them down. Don't try to pour scorn upon their service for the Master. At least thank God they're trying to please the Lord. And God heard this criticism. God knew exactly what they were saying. And God heard the discouragers, and what does God do, friend? God sends a message. You see, Haggai was the messenger of God with a large message. And when God heard those old criticizers and those old depressors in the midst of the work of God, God says, look at verse 4, he says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, all ye people of the land. Why did God say it? Listen, God says, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, the rest of you brethren. He emphasized it 3 times. Because I'll tell you this, my friend, that's what they needed to withstand the criticism. They needed the strength of God. They needed to be strong in the Lord. Be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And you know what God says? Keep working and work. Keep working. Keep at it, brother. Now the old devil will discourage you if you're trying to serve Jesus. I'm saying this morning, keep at it, brother. Keep at it, sister. Don't let the devil's crowd or even those that the devil's using to pour cold water on what you're doing for the Master. Just keep at it. Don't let them stop you. And work. Keep working. But God knew that to keep working, they'd have to be strong. We sang a moment ago, that's why we sang that hymn. It's not an easy road we're traveling to heaven. Many are the thorns in the way, and I'll tell you this. The devil will put the thorns in the way, and I'll tell you, he puts it sometimes in a very extraordinary, he uses extraordinary people. And God reiterates this. His instruction, he says, be strong, aye, and work. And then you know what he said? Just remember this. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. You may not have the silver and the gold, but you have me. What you're doing may not be to the glory of the previous, but you're doing my work. That's all I've asked you to do. Just do it my way. Because that's exactly what they were doing, friend. They were doing it God's way. And God gives them a promise. He reiterates the promise. After 3 times saying, be strong, Zerubbabel, be strong, Joshua, be strong, all ye people. He says, for I am with you. And what God is reminding them is that they need stickability. They need determination. They need perseverance to get the job done. And that's exactly what you and I need. In this day of darkness, in this day of apostasy, in this day, my friend, when many will seek to destroy the testimony of God and the devil's crowd will try to destroy the work that you and I are doing for God, I say to our young people, as they go down the town, what would I say to them in the Lord's name? I say, brother, be strong. I say, sister, in God's name, as you face others, and they will mock you, and they'll scoff you, and they'll belittle you. I want to tell you, brother, you need to be strong. You need to stick at it. You need to keep going. God says, and work. That's what you have to do. If you and I are going to rebuild the temple, as God said to these men through Haggai, they were going to have to keep going. They weren't going to look to the past. My friend, we have got to remember the past, but I want to tell you, we cannot live in the past. Just because it was done that way that day does not mean that in this day and generation, God is not asking you to do it a different way. But we have got to glorify Him in everything we do. We've got to be careful that we do it to His honor and to His glory, to His pleasing. Not for the glorification of man. Not that man would be seen, but that the Lord's name alone would be glorified. It's often difficult to start the work, but I'll tell you this, it's quite often harder to keep at the work. Oh, many people start, and then they stop. You know, God was reminding them, this is the right word from God. They needed stability as well as tranquility. And you and I need that, brother. You and I need that, sister. Just keep going. What did Paul say? He says, I have fought a good fight. He says, I have finished. And a brother was reminding me this morning as we sat in my room at the back before I came into the pulpit, where God had given him a little word. And it was a wee word just in the midst of all of that, what Paul said. He said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Isn't that lovely? I finished my course. He says, I've kept the faith. And brother, don't you try to run somebody else's race. Sister, don't you try to take somebody else's race. You just stick the one that God has given you. You keep at your course. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary? What did He cry? He said, it is finished. Thank God He finished the work. And these brethren in Haggai's day, they had a work to do. And God says, keep at it. Keep working. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Brother and sister, in God's name, I pray that irrespective of the complaints and the criticisms, just as God said through the king as we read the book of Hezekiah, don't you hinder the work. Don't you dare hinder. And I say this to God's people out of a heart of love, brethren and sisters. Let me tell you, if you don't want to do the work yourself, and if that's so, then there's something wrong, because every one of us has a place in the wall. And if you're not building on the part of the wall that God has set you in, then, friend, there's something that you could be doing that you're not. Now, God will build the wall. Make no mistake about it. God will do it in spite of you, if He can't do it with you. But if you're not willing to build the wall for God, then I'm saying in God's name, and I say this clearly, then in God's name, don't hinder somebody else doing it. Don't hinder somebody else. Don't you hinder the work of God. And God says, engage in the work. Just keep working. I read a little verse in Luke's Gospel 19, verse 13, before I came into the pulpit. Occupy till I come. Just occupy. You keep working. And as long as God has put you here, you keep working. Now, you may not be able to do what you did before, but in God's name, just keep doing what you can for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I looked at that little word, be strong, be strong. We read over in the book of 2 Timothy this morning, chapter 2. And what were the first words that we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2? When I opened the scriptures to you this morning, it says, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. May God give us strength. And I know time's away this morning, but I want to say this to you in closing. It was down the ages. You read the scriptures and you'll find that God exhorted his people to be strong. It was the word of God that called them to strength, that stimulated Israel as they were entering the land of promise to possess it. God says, listen, you're going to need strength to do this. If you're going to keep going, you've got to be strong. This is not a mamsy-pamsy thing. You're in a battle. And you need to go, you need strength to face this battle. Whenever Joshua was called of God to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise, God says, listen, be strong and have a good courage. You need backbone instead of wishbone. You've got to stand up. Stand up. Let me tell you this, my friend. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God forgive us for the times that we have been ashamed to take our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, it takes backbone to stand in some situations, to speak out for the Master. But God will bless you for so doing it. God give that word through David to Solomon. He said, be strong. God encouraged Daniel. He says, Daniel, be strong. And then through Daniel, he wrote to the people to be strong. Zechariah to the people of God, he says, be strong. And Paul was writing to Timothy, he says, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we're not talking about human strength. We're not talking about macho. We're not talking about sticking out your chest and taking on the world, friend. Not at all. We're talking about being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I'll tell you, just to encourage them, he says, yes, be strong, Zerubbabel. He says, be strong, Joshua. He says, be strong, all ye people. And work, he said, because I am with you. He brought them back to the promise he'd given a short time before. I'm with you. I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I would have his presence near me and his arms around me throw, and then my soul shall fear no ill. Let him lead me where he will. I will go without a murmur, and his footsteps follow still. I am with you. The omnipotent God of heaven with his people. Be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, let me tell you, the power that resides in Christ is available for every believer. to fight the world and the flesh and the devil. You know what he says? He says, and my grace is sufficient for you. What did Paul say? He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Isn't God good to his people? He brought the right word in the time of need. And thank God he brings that word to us this morning. And as you and I go out of God's house, God says you may face temptation, you may face trials, you may face problems, you may face opposition, you may face the forces of hell. But just remember this. Be strong, for I am with you. You're an unsaved man or woman, young person today. You have nothing to rely upon, have you? You have no word to rest upon, have you? Because you haven't Jesus. I beg you today in God's name, trust the Master. Trust the Savior. Thank God then you'll never walk alone. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, with all my heart I thank you today for thy love and thy mercy and thy grace. We thank thee that when we were yet in sin, that God, you commended your love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank thee for the depths of thy mercy. You did not give us what we did deserve. But, oh God, you heard our cry. Thank you for thy grace. And although we did not deserve thy great salvation, we thank thee for those today who can say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Bless thy word to all of our hearts. And even this morning, some precious soul come to Jesus. Know thee as their Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.